This is Dan Jones. Today we want to focus our attention on a word that we hear often used in describing a major aspect of the death of Jesus on the cross. That word is vicarious. This may be a rather high-sounding word, but its meaning is simple and appropriate when applied to the sufferings of Christ. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines this word as serving instead of someone or something else, performed or suffered by one person as a substitute for another, or to the benefit or advantage of another. A synonym for vicarious is substitutionary. Jesus' death was vicarious in that he suffered in our place and for our benefit. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah foretold of Jesus' death, explaining that it would be substitutionary or vicarious in nature. In Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, we read, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Liberal theologians, skeptics, and others may deny that Jesus died for the sins of man, but we know what Scripture plainly declares. In Hebrews 2 and verse 9, the Bible says that Jesus tasted death for every man. The Apostle John wrote that Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world, 1 John 2, 1 and 2. In 1 Peter 2:24, we find the following affirmation: "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Just a few verses later, in 1 Peter 3:18, we are again assured that Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. All of these passages, and others that could be added, clearly proclaim the vicarious nature of Christ's death. Not only did Jesus die for our benefit, but by offering himself once, he accomplished what all the sacrifices of the Old Testament could not produce, though they were offered over and over again, some daily, some weekly, some monthly, and some yearly. Read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. For example, under the law of Moses, the high priest entered into the most holy place once each year on the Day of Atonement to offer sacrifice for his sins and the sins of the people. But Hebrews 9, 25 and 28 tells us of Jesus' sacrifice in these words: "Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." The word "once" found in 1 Peter 3:18 and Hebrews 9:28 means one time, a single time, once for all, never to be repeated. By his sacrificial death, Jesus made it possible for all men to be saved. This does not mean that all will be saved, but by his death, we find sufficient means to save all who will come to him in faith and obedience. Not only did Jesus die once for all, but his death accomplished what we could never provide for ourselves. In Romans 5, verses 6 through 8, Paul teaches, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Remember that Jesus' death was the just, that's Jesus, for the unjust, that's us, that he might bring us to God, 1 Peter 3:18. But his death cannot help those who refuse to render obedience to the gospel in order to be saved. The Bible still says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned," Mark 16:16. Friends, have you obeyed the gospel?